Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have some breaking news here. Gregory Bovino, the sort of de facto Border Patrol spokes agent, has been relieved of duty as commander-at-large of the U.S. Border Patrol. Nuxortor posted this, saying this is BS. Trump must reverse this now. Bovino put his life on the line every single day, pushing for mass deportations across the country, going head-to-head with leftists and reminding them who's boss. His family's been on lockdown for months, and despite the constant death threats, he's still in public leading his men every day. Do not cower to Democrats, President Trump. But he always does. Why does he? What does he think this is going to do? Do you think this is going to help? I really don't understand that. Trump says he's sending Tom Homan to Minnesota tonight as major investigation into the welfare fraud in Ilhan Omar underway. President Trump announced on Monday that he's sending Border Czar Tom Homan to Minnesota tonight amid the ongoing riots. This comes after Border Patrol fatally shot a man identified as 37-year-old Alex Jeffrey Preddy during a struggle on Saturday morning after the suspect pulled his gun on agents, sparking riots and further attacks on law enforcement. Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino told reporters on Saturday that the incident occurred while federal agents were attempting to arrest Jose Huerta Chuma of Ecuador, an illegal alien who had a record of domestic assault to intentionally inflict bodily harm, disorderly conduct, and driving without a valid license. Meanwhile, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz responded to the incident, making no mention of the gun-wielding individual obstructing law enforcement. Instead, he claimed that Minnesotans who were rioting at the time were peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights, and he declared that he's creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this. So what are we doing? So what are we doing here? We can go to some videos of White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt discussing the reaction to some of this. Again, I feel like it's a little bit soft for my liking, but we can go here to clip number 14. I'll pull this up.
That's why President Trump spoke with Governor Walz directly this morning, and he has outlined a clear and simple path to restoring law and order in Minnesota. Number one, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, and all Democrat leaders should turn over all criminal illegal aliens currently incarcerated in their prisons and jails to federal authorities, along with any illegal aliens with active warrants or known criminal histories for immediate deportation. Number two, state and local law enforcement must agree to turn over all illegal aliens who are arrested by local police. And then thirdly, local police must assist federal law enforcement in apprehending and detaining illegal aliens who are wanted for crimes, especially violent crimes. If Governor Walz and Mayor Fry implement these common sense cooperative measures that I will add have already been implemented in nearly every single other state across the country, Customs and Border Patrol will not be needed to support ICE on the ground in Minnesota. ICE and local law enforcement can peacefully work together, as they are effectively doing in so many other states and jurisdictions. Additionally, President Trump is calling on the United States Congress to immediately pass legislation ending sanctuary cities once and for all. American cities should be safe sanctuaries for law-abiding citizens only, not for dangerous illegal alien criminals who broke our nation's laws and do not belong here. We hope Governor Walz will do the right thing and continue to work with President Trump to keep the American people safe following their call this morning. Americans overwhelmingly want exactly what President Trump is delivering.
We're just in bizarro world. What do you even do here? I really don't even know. I'm speechless. You literally have one side of the conversation going, this is basically like what Anne Frank went to. ICE is Gestapo Nazis that are illegitimate. They're not even real law enforcement. And then Trump is like, we're so happy that Tim Walz is working together with us and we'll continue to keep Americans safe. Just like, okay, which one of you is insane? Because this is an incompatible impasse.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith, live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. Again, we find ourselves in this Twilight Zone world. That's good, kind of a good term for it, Twilight Zone. Because we really are just, we're dealing with, like, insanity on one side and just inexplicable incompetence on the other. This is from NN on X. I want you to remember Charlie Kirk getting his neck blown out in front of college kids. The entire world watched it happen. And I want you to remember how the left reacted, how they celebrated, how they justified it, how hundreds of thousands of people liked a post where Amanda Seyfried said it deserved it. Then remember how enraged they were when President Trump moved his head and survived an assassination attempt on live television, something that would have thrown this country into chaos, if not outright civil war. Remember how they built shrines and merchandise for Luigi Mangione after he murdered an innocent man in cold blood. And Ashley Babbitt, they didn't just defend the shooting, they turned her killer into a hero and have mocked her death for 5 years straight. The hypocrisy is so loud and rancid, it makes their obnoxious red whistles seem quiet. This is not politics. This is a communist insurgency carried out by people who openly worship the ideology of Karl Marx and want to eliminate everyone to the right of him. They don't care about life or innocent victims. They care about power, and they will justify any amount of bloodshed to get it. Except where we are, it's not going to be pretty. Do not be manipulated by their narcissistic, emotional blackmail warfare. The only way is through. Yeah, well said. And this, again, is just the pathetic part. And again, if one of their, you know, random lefty people was shot in the head, would anybody on the right celebrate it? Absolutely not. Once again, this is not a matter of inequality. It's not a matter of, well, we shot one of their people and they didn't like it, and they shot one of ours and we didn't like it, and so, you know, whatever, tit for tat kind of thing. Like, Ashley Babbitt was actually unarmed, actually didn't have a gun, unlike Alex Pretty, actually didn't try to run anybody over with her car. Actually, if you watch the video, there were police officers right there standing in front of Ashley Babbitt, who then moved out of the way and stood right next to her as they allowed her to go through the door where somebody else, Michael Byrd, was hiding behind a pillar with just his gun out, shot her in the chest point blank range. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't like people were running around, guns are going off. Oh my God, what's happening? No, he very clearly lined up a shot, waited for her, start climbing through the door, and then executed her. And they didn't say, well, it was a, you know, traumatic and chaotic event, and, you know, it was regrettable, but, you know, he thought it was the right thing to do. No, they said she deserved it and they should have killed more, basically. Why didn't they start shooting more people? It's like, this is who we're dealing with. They want you dead. They want all of us dead. They want the country burning. And you want to be sorry that one of them got in a fist fight with cops and paid the ultimate price? These are not protests. None of these people are protesters. So They're insurrectionists. They're communists. They're evil, brainwashed scum. And we cannot feel sorry for them. I don't know why you would feel sorry for them. Honestly. I mean, I'll open up the calls in the fourth hour, or third hour rather. So I'll take your calls on this. I'm sure some people, you know, listening to me disagree with me. But like, you are wrong. I'm sorry to say you're wrong. It just like blows my mind that people have lived through the last 10 years and are like, hey, well, just be careful because, you know, if you, you know, support ICE being tyrannical, it'll be used against you. And it's like, first of all, no, it won't. Anybody working for ICE at this point is not on their side and will not follow order. I mean, no, they won't. First of all, I really don't believe that. If ICE were to try to be used against the American people, then you do have a case for protest. Then you do have a case for overreach of the government. Then I wouldn't be against the protest. That's not what's happening here. So how are you trying to, like, it's all retarded. But it doesn't matter anyway, because that's what the FBI is for and has been used for in the recent past. Like, what are you talking about? They literally already did it. You're acting as if we're setting a precedent. They already set the precedent. We are not rising to meet it. The precedent that they set is if you're in a chat organizing a protest that they can frame as an insurrection, then you go to jail under RICO charges for domestic terrorism for 20 years. They set that precedent. So that's what they deserve. It's not a question of if we think that's the right thing to do. That's the thing to do now. They did it to us. We do it to them. Is that not what precedent is supposed to be all about? So they do it. And then I get yelled at by people going, oh, but what if they do it? They literally already did. What are you talking about? They murdered Ashley Babbitt in cold blood and then gave her killer a gold medal on TV. And you're acting like me saying Alex Preddy absolutely deserved it and is 100% responsible for his own death. It's like, well, you know, 5 years from now, they're going to be like, we would go easy on you, but Harrison said that this was the right thing to do. So it's like, guys, we are dealing with psychotic murderers. What has been unclear about this? You are warning. It's like I'm being told not to play with matches because I might start a fire, and I'm sitting in the burned out husk of a house that burned to the ground 2 years ago. It's already gone. There's no threat of fire anymore. They burned everything. So either we win or they do. That's the only thing that matters at this point. Because they don't believe in our values. They don't believe in the things that you're trying to protect. If you want to win, you have to win. If your ideas are better, they don't matter if a bunch of dumbass communists are dragging your body behind a car. Right? I actually do believe in Western values. I actually do believe in the Constitution and America. And so we have to save them from the evil people that don't deserve the rights contained therein, who are not worthy and are not even in accordance with it anyway. So it doesn't even matter. Again, not protests. None of these are protests. They aren't even pretending that they are. All the whistling and chanting that they do are all codified according to a leaked document from the Signal ICE chat, either a send call for help or verified ICE agent. Even the chants mean something as well. These instructions are pretty detailed. This is from one of the document tranches that were received. And by the way, have we not been telling you for years and years and years how much there is to find on these networks? I did a whole Moonbase Live episode, must have been a year ago at this point, showing you that they had Telegram groups and that they had Signal chats, and that in order to get into the Signal chats, because in Telegram, it would be people going, you know, I think protesting is good, but we need to do more. And then the response would be like, that's what the Signal group chat is for. Here's a link to join. And then they would vet you and make sure you weren't, you know, a Fed before they'd get you in. Everyone listening to my voice should be doing everything you possibly can to infiltrate and disrupt these networks. It is not hard, honestly. And it's sad that it took this long for this thing to come out. I mean, they have thousands of people in these groups. Do you really think it's impossible? Like, if you're somebody that's out there listening to my voice and you don't have, like, a well-publicized track record of being conservative, why would you not try to infiltrate these and then provide us with the documents that they find? It's incredibly valuable. And you'd be like, become famous by finding this stuff. So this is one of the documents. How to report ICE activity. If your sure it's ICE, take the following steps. Alert other ICE watchers at your school location via your school signal group. So right, there's the big signal group, and then there's the little signal groups for each independent neighborhood. Coordinator monitoring the school should report to the verifiers thread using the verified ICE sighting prefix, or if possible, call an admin of your local verifier / rapid response thread to give critical information as quickly as possible. 2, warn surrounding people, including staff, and ask for help. Record the incident. In event of active abduction, connect with the person being detained, if possible, and take detailed notes. I mean, it is very professional. It's very well laid out. It's very much absurd that it's an independent reporter that found this and not the FBI. Meanwhile, compare this, and this is just one page of like hundreds of pages of very detailed instruction on exactly what to do, how to do it, codes and communications and everything. Compare that to the group chats that were used to send Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Tarrio to jail for 20 years, where they were just like, this is going to be crazy. Yeah, it is. You know, Antifa better not show up. And it's like, see, it was an unspoken conspiracy to overthrow the government. Meanwhile, these signal chats are actually a conspiracy to overthrow the government in black and white. No interpretation needed. No speculation necessary. And Pam Bondi sent a very strongly worded letter. So, you know, they'll see the light pretty soon. FBI has launched a SignalGate investigation, according to Kash Patel. So add this to the list, I guess. Add this to the list of things that the FBI should be doing, that the FBI should have been ahead of, that the FBI should have already not just investigated, but probably broken up, dissolved, dealt with years ago. Add it to the list. So we now have the Charlie Kirk assassination, the Donald Trump attempted assassination, the pipe bomber case. Now we have the signal gate. Of course, you have the Somali fraud. All of these things followed exactly the same pattern. The FBI didn't say anything about them. Independent reporters exposed them, went totally viral, made the FBI look like a bunch of chumps, only for then the FBI to come in and say, don't worry, we're investigating it. Actually, we're going to solve it really quick. It's like, you people are pathetic. Dissolve the FBI. I mean, what would be the damage of dissolving the FBI? They don't do anything. If you can't find this, you don't deserve to be a law enforcement agency in our country. Dissolve it completely. Just give it to Cam Higby. Like, why not? He is doing more than the FBI is. James O'Keefe has done more and better investigations than the FBI ever has. On purpose, because they're not actually investigating anything, because they're in on it. Let's see what Kash Patel says about this. SignalGate continues to erupt out of Minneapolis as the organizational structure or command and control nodes of left-wing activists operating within encrypted messaging apps were infiltrated and exposed on Sunday, revealing that on-the-ground pressure campaigns against federal agents were highly coordinated and, according to some experts, exhibit characteristics of a low-level insurgency. Gee, you don't say. We're investigating it. As soon as Higby put that post out, I opened an investigation on it. If that leads to a break in the federal statute or a violation of some law, then we are going to arrest people. They should be worried. If they broke the law, you should be worried. Are we in fantasy world? If they broke the law, it's all against the law. They're actively organizing an insurrection. Here's the headline here. There's no protest activity in the Signal group chat. Okay? Let me repeat that. There is no First Amendment protected protest activity going on in the Signal chat. None of it is about protest. All of it is about interfering with law enforcement, which is not a protest, is not free speech, is not protected under the First Amendment. What are we talking about? I think we actually have this video. I think we have Kash Patel on with Benny Johnson. And we can go to it. We have a bunch of funny videos, actually, to get to. Yeah, let's go to that video now. Here's 51, Kash Patel revealing an investigation into the Signal chat. Let's watch.
Okay, so this is breaking news. So you and the FBI and perhaps other intelligence agencies are fully aware of this coordinated effort to attack federal law enforcement, to impede them and potentially insurrect. Uh-huh. And so there is now an open investigation into these chats and into this coordinated network.
Yeah, because
some of them are fleeing. Some of them are very scared now. You can see their chats. They're very, very worried now that they have been exposed.
Well, they should be. If they broke the law, you should be worried. It's that simple. If you didn't break the law, there's really nothing to worry about on that front. And so, you know, we're going to continue, as I've said from day one, we will protect law enforcement. We will make sure they have the security and safety to do their jobs. We will also ensure that civilians have the ultimate protection of the First and Second Amendment. But it is my job to adjudicate the difference when there is a breaking of federal statute or state law in the furtherance of a crime or violence against law enforcement officers. And that's when we step in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What's the way? I feel like Cash needs a nickname. That's like, I don't know. There's gotta be someone who always like shows up after the party's over. That's who Kash Patel is. He shows up after the independent journalists have done the investigation, found the evidence, exposed the networks, been attacked. Then Kash Patel comes in and goes, "Don't worry, we got it from here." And then it just disappears forever. Kash, the cleanup guy, is basically it. He's always a day late and a dollar short, always showing up after the crime makes headlines to talk big and do absolutely nothing. If he was good at his job, he would have been the one to discover these Signal chats. If he was just decent at his job, we'd already have arrest warrants out for these people. At the very least, letters to them from the DOJ telling them, preserve your evidence. But instead, we'll get what we've gotten over and over again. Independent reporters breaking a big story, the FBI coming in a week later to say, yeah, don't worry, we're on top of this. And then maybe a week or so from now, we'll get nothing, basically. They'll like try to arrest one of the activists that they try to blame the whole thing on. And then a judge will say, you're not allowed to prosecute her. And then it'll be over. And they'll say, well, we tried. I mean, what else is going to happen? The unwelcome guest. No, but it's more like, yeah, Johnny come lately, Kash come lately. That's sort of his name. I mean, Kash, there's got to be a pun to play on Kash, right? Look up idioms that have the word Kash in it. I'm sure we could find a good one. Dollar short, right? Day late and a dollar short. I mean, Patel is referring to citizen journalist Cam Higby's bombshell report on infiltrated Signal chats linked to left-wing groups in Minneapolis that are acting as a shadow revolutionary force against the federal government's deportation operations targeting criminal illegal aliens. What is especially concerning is that the federal government was unable to identify the command and control communication structures behind these pressure campaigns in the sanctuary city where citizen journalists were the ones who ultimately uncovered the bombshell. But we've known this the whole time. I mean, Cam Higby found the actual chat and posted the actual chat. But we've been reporting on this forever. Cash cow. It's not bad. Strapped for cash, short on money. That's not bad. Nah. Petty cash. That's pretty good. We have cash flow problems. Nah, we'll find a better one. We'll find a better one, but it really is just pathetic. And again, the thing about this, like, it would be one, okay. if nobody from the government was in these signal chats, then we'd be dealing with, well, I was going to say something close to the equivalent of January 6th, but even that isn't even true. But we'd be still dealing with something that was illegal. We'd still be dealing with a well-funded, well-established, well-connected network of activists coordinating illegal activity. None of these are protests. The First Amendment does not protect intervening in law enforcement activity. This should be simple for literally everyone to understand. Why is nobody making this argument? It's crazy. Some people are. Why are the people in power not acting on this argument? I don't know. If it was just regular citizens, it would already be a crime. You would have the equivalent, basically, of what they charged the January 6th conspirators with, like Stuart Rhodes. Is these people are in a signal chat with other people coordinating action to try to overthrow the government in a way that has led to injuries and death. That's not the case. The entire Minnesota and Minneapolis power structure is represented in these chats, are directly involved and actually using state resources to coordinate and organize. Literal insurrection. It's a literal civil war. And as I said like a million times, we don't need to convince them of this. We don't need them to say, you're right, we are criminals. They will never say that. We need to just impose the law upon them. It is unbelievably simple. Former Tim Walz campaign manager Amanda Kohler, as well as Minneapolis City Council member Oren Chaudhry, have allegedly been identified in key figures in the now-leaked Signal group chat. Amanda Kohler has now deleted her social media accounts and made her website private. The group even had a Signal chat guide advising anti-ICE protesters. The Signal chat was exposed by journalist Cam Higby, who published a bombshell report on Sunday after infiltrating multiple groups across Minneapolis with the stated aim of tracking federal agents and impeding, assaulting, or obstructing their operations. The report sparked a wildfire across X tonight. Higby's reporting unleashed a rapid mobilization of citizen journalists, including accounts such as Zero Hour One, who began mapping what appears to be an organized command and control network of left-wing activists behind the groups. Here's what we have on these Signal chats: government officials, anarchists, Antifa, gang members, journalists coordinating and attacking ICE agents across the country. This, my friends, is organized crime, not protesting. RICO. Which, of course, it is, and it always has been. I remember reporting in 2020 on a hot mic that captured an NBC producer coordinating with one of the organizers of the riot, who's on mic going, yeah, I came from Chicago. They sent me down here to lead this, and I'm in communication with your producer at NBC. So it's like for at least 5 years, they've had these networks of, you know, national protest riot leaders. If you cross the state line and participate in a riot, that's a federal crime. We could have charged any of these people at any point and everybody in their network under RICO charges. None of them have even been brought up on charges. A lot of them, if they ever were arrested, have now been given gigantic multi-million dollar payouts from the city for their pain and suffering of being punished for the crimes they committed. But they're working with the media. They're working with the local authorities. They're working with people in the federal authorities, people embedded within ICE, to create this situation. And now Donald Trump is saying we're going to remove ICE from the city to teach them that doing this is rewarded. It's actually a good way to get what you want.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up a pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenstore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Infowars.com, band.video. I'm actually going to be joined by Nick Sortor in the next hour. 5:30 time slot. We'll be joined by Nick Sortor to get his take on Trump's recent announcement that Greg Bovino and others, not all Border Patrol agents, but a sizable amount of Border Patrol agents, will be withdrawn from Minneapolis in what seems to me like a capitulation to the terrorist demands. And I'm not thrilled about, to say the very least. But again, the sheer number of people in leftist politics in Minnesota and Minneapolis that are in this Signal group chat, it's basically all of them. It's a huge number. And if this was an administration that was serious about dealing with the existential threat of communist revolution in this country, which, by the way, they're not even doing right now. You understand they have their plan. It's for 2028. This is the 2 years of lead up to that. And in fact, they're practicing as we speak to prepare for that 2028 mass general strike when every union is going to coordinate strikes and try to shut down the American economy in order to get their demands met. Their demands, of course, are we become communist. The exact same play that they ran in 1918 with Germany, with the German Communist Revolution. If we had an administration that actually wanted to deal with this, this would be the golden goose. This would be their enemies handed to them on a platter, just beautifully prepared, gift wrapped, sealed with a kiss. So what are we doing with it? So what are we doing about it? I mean, we just caught the Democrat control apparatus red-handed with people in positions of authority, current office holders, as well as people extremely close to current office holders, as well as journalists, as well as activists, in a chat whose direct instruction has led to at least one death. As this guy, Pretty, was in this Signal group chat, and the Signal group chat was discussing the area and sending people to that area just before he went and got his ass shot. So, I mean, this is like the, was it Adam Weishaupt? Who's the guys who basically was revealed the Illuminati? Again, another like miraculous event in human history where this guy had all of the plans of the Illuminati, the secret sect within the secret sects, the people that are trying to use the Masons and, you know, the other secret societies to overthrow the nobility in Europe. Adam Weishaupt, I think his name was. And he had all these plans and all these lists of the Illuminati in his pocket, and he was struck by lightning. And so when they went to try to help him, they found these notes, and the Bavarian authorities actually put it on display for everybody to see that there was this giant conspiracy happening. That's essentially what we've been delivered. Yet another lightning strike miracle where the plans and the list of participants in a revolutionary communistic overthrow of the government have been revealed. The question is, what are we going to do about it, if anything? Are we going to let yet another like miracle pass us by? So again, Cam Higsby, bombshell report. Tim Walz's campaign advisor, Amanda Kohler, was in it. City Council, Minneapolis City Council member Oren Chaudhry has allegedly been identified as a key figure, sitting office holder in Minneapolis. Kohler has gone dark now. The group even had a Signal chat guide advising anti-ICE protests. The entire point of the chat is to assault, impede, or obstruct the operations of ICE. Government officials, anarchists, Antifa, gang members, and journalists are in the chat. What's unfolding right now isn't a protest. It's a low-level insurgency infrastructure built by people who've clearly studied the playbook. The encrypted Signal messages obtained by Fox News Digital in real time show that anti-ICE rapid responders were actively tracking, broadcasting, and summoning backup around the federal agents or outside Glam Doll Donuts on Nicolet Avenue, where the shooting happened. Local rapid responders made at least 26 entries into a database called MN ICE Plates in the critical hours before and after the killing, documenting the license plate numbers and details of alleged ICE vehicles they claim to see around Nicolet Avenue. So again, here is a group chat with people in the Minnesota government telling people to go and interfere with ICE just before somebody goes, interferes with ICE, and ends up dead. Maybe everybody on the Signal chat can be charged with his murder. That's what they would do if it was us. This highly organized Signal group even managed to track journalist James O'Keefe, as well as quickly obtain his cell phone number and threaten the journalist with violence. They tracked James O'Keefe's license plate in Minnesota, texted him about it, and threatened his life. These leftists have access to state license plate databases and are weaponizing them to commit vigilante justice. This is organized domestic terrorism. And the text sent to James O'Keefe said, "We know exactly where you are. You have an hour to leave or we're going to kill you." Not like, "Oh, you better watch out, buddy." No, no. Leave the city or we're going to kill you. Yeah, that's a crime. So just add that to the RICO charges of everybody in this Signal group chat. Besides tracking and deploying anti-ICE pressure campaigns against federal agents like guerrilla-style warfare tactics through the messaging app. The group was also building a list of federal vehicle license plates stored in a database. Zero Hour One revealed this Sunday. Also, there's a Reuters reporter there tracking us every day. To be fair, I was as well, but I was tracking insurrectionists, not ICE. So you have reporters in Reuters who knew about this and were participating in the Signal chat. Now, if they were actual journalists, they would have revealed this. They weren't. I mean, the whole thing gets crazy. Fleeing to Cuba. Insurrectionists fleeing the city and state. A tipster, BitChute needs soap. Oh, I'm not going to read that. Message some of the people in one of the insurrectionist Signal chats. The user indicated that he or she needs to flee the state because, quote, we're in so much trouble, we are all effed, Sky said. I mean, again, we have now been delivered the perfect package to round up and prosecute all of these people to end this insurrection today if we wanted to. And if we were the left wing, we would. We're the left wing. We're the Democrats. We had anybody in any position of power with a set of balls, every single person in the Signal chat group, especially the leaders, anybody with any sort of leadership position in these Signal chats would have their door kicked down this morning and they'd be hauled out and facing RICO charges, a couple decades in prison for domestic terror. I don't know if any of them will be arrested. They'll probably just let the Signal chat keep going. Oh, well, you know, there's no law against expressing yourself on Signal, so yeah, we'll just let them do it. I mean, why hasn't it happened yet? I guess is my question. I guess my question is, if it's going to happen, why hasn't it happened yet? By the way, if you want to meet the people who were actually in charge of the Signal chat, Myrtle Lemon Todd and Trevor Lemon Todd, marketers and sign designers of the Signal chat group, maintains group membership and reminds people to change their names, known as T, Lemon, and Shark Pile. So this is allegedly one of the people involved, Myrtle Lemon Todd. Here they are. So I just, you know, all these people, all these right-wingers, supposed quote-unquote conservatives that are all like upset about the idea that, you know, you're having to fight leftists, your fellow Americans. These people are literal monsters, y'all. They are goblins. They are actually ogres. Like, what you don't have to worry about, like, what this is. These people are literal monsters. Yeah, y'all got to find the actual picture. We got to see the full body shot of these two grotesque beasts who are running the Signal chat, apparently. I don't know if they're male or female, human or something else. But it's a pertinent and timely reminder that at the end of the day, communism is not a set of beliefs. It is simply the biological imperative of ugly, disgusting, monstrous freaks to try to destroy the beautiful and the uplifting. That's all. Everything else is set dressing. Everything else is a mask of that internal driving force. Is anti-human, disgusting slugs who have been taught to hate humans as a proxy of hating themselves want to kill all of the good and happy and beautiful people because they have what they don't have. So that's really at the base of it. That's all it is. And it's really not that complicated. I'll retweet this so the guys can pull it up there. Myrtle Lemon Todd, Myrtle and Trevor, the disgusting freaks that libertarians are, you know, very, very worried about offending. Okay, so you've got Tim Walz's former campaign manager. You've got a sitting city council member. You've got a couple of bulbous tattooed psychopaths. You also have, apparently, State Representative Alex Falconer. All this is alleged, by the way, since, you know, the authorities haven't ever bothered to actually investigate any of this stuff. all we're going on is the assertion of independent reporters, which could very well be mistaken. There they are. There you go. I couldn't let our audience not be have this image burned into their minds with the tattoos that look like a child's doodle book, wearing cowboy hats of all things. Those go on the humans, not the animals. You'd know that if you're a cowboy. So I just, you know, I don't judge people by their looks, but I'll make an exception. But I'll make an exception in this case and just say, you don't have to worry about these, but you don't have to worry about offending these people. You don't have to worry about these people's rights. They don't believe in rights. They don't believe in humanity. They're just disgusting freaks that need to be helped. We need to help them to shut up forever. Okay. Yeah. Minnesota Antifa dude who called to take up arms against ICE is a cross-dressing LGBTQ queer activist who wears dresses, wigs, and heels. Like the least surprising thing I've ever heard. And you got a bunch of people out there going, I don't know about the optics of what ICE is doing. I don't know. Have you seen the people that are arrayed against them? I mean, what is this? What are we looking at here? I don't even know where to begin. Gender is like the least concerning thing. Just crazy. And again, basically everybody's in this chat. So let me just do this. Let me just give you the full list. So this is who has been accused so far of being in this Signal group chat. You have Tim Walz's former campaign manager, who is Amanda Kohler. You also have City Councilmember Orrin Chowdhury. You have a number of other people that, you know, we don't know the names of, but they are Reuters journalists who could have exposed this at any point, but instead are participating in the activity. It appears as though state representative for Minnesota, Alex Falconer, was in this list. He faces renewed calls to be arrested because of his involvement running an anti-ICE insurrectionist network and Signal chats to stalk ICE. And he's made videos where he's encouraged people to do this. So state representative, city councilman, campaign managers for Tim Walz, Minnesota state Senate candidate Anita Smithson, who's an employee at U.S. Bank, is one of the leaders of the anti-ICE resistant groups, which the guy killed the obstructing ICE was also a part of. Anita Smithson, candidate for Minnesota State Senate, avid ICE watch dispatcher. In her spare time, she likes supporting her BLM activists, being a spurg for Tim Walz, and does risk management for a major bank. And people are suggesting that she might have been the source of some of the personal information that was supplied, since as the high up person at a bank, she would have access to people's, you know, personal information. Flan Southside, a.k.a. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, dispatch admin to the Signal group, chat group. Of course, Anita Smithson would include her to run the group dispatch operation. Still figuring out who Boogie is. It may be Tim Walz. There's a guy who's a quote-unquote dispatcher of this group named Boogie. People are wondering who that is and saying it might be Tim Walz. But we do know that Flan is likely Peggy Flanagan, who is the woman, by the way, who went viral recently because she dressed in a headdress and a hijab to talk about how powerful and wonderful the Somali community is. And in fact, we have videos of her. Let's go to clip number 42 here. This is Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Petty Flanagan. Apparently was in this Signal chat that encouraged the Preddy guy to go commit suicide by cop. Here's the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota. Let's watch.
So this is literally the second time this weekend as we've been doing an event where there's been breaking news that ICE agents are in the community. So this is not just an issue that impacts the Twin Cities. It impacts all of us. Watch out for each other. And I completely understand if folks have to go or there's other observers in this space. But just would ask that you get trained up. You learn how to respond in this moment. How many of you have gone through Legal Observer training so far? A couple folks. I know that there will be more opportunities to go through this training that will be offered online. The Immigrant Defense Network is available for folks. Minarca, that's through Unidos, is another place where people can look for training. I have gone through, I Know Your Rights training, also Legal Observer training. It doesn't take very long, but it's really important.
So again, this woman... was allegedly an admin of the Signal chat. Honestly, it just goes on and on. Audrin Chowdhury, a Minneapolis city council member, has been linked to the top of an anti-Signal group chat. This revelation is fueling calls for a major investigation into her and other city officials allegedly involved. Minnesota Rapid Response Chat is divided into geographical groups in Minnesota and even further broken up by neighborhood. They all refer back to a few of the same organizations: Monarca, Unidos, MN, Defend the 612, MIRAC, ACLU. They also direct people to the same legal institutions for reporting specific ICE activity, AG Ellison's office being one of them. So it looks like Attorney General Keith Ellison is also a part of this group, as they tell people that he's a friendly person they can call in order to get direction. Okay, so you've got connections to Larry Ellison, Tim Walz, and all of their deputies. And they're doing this on government time, and they're doing it with government resources, and they're likely doing it with access to government databases. So the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota are in a condition of rebellion against the federal government, and this ends when they succeed or the federal government puts it down. These are the only options. So why is Trump capitulating? Why is he trying to work with Tim Walz? What is he talking about? Oh, just give us the illegal alien criminals. Like, they should already, the fact that they're not doing that should already be justification for their arrest, to charge them with any crime committed by any illegal alien that they previously let out, which are numerous and terrifying. So again, how many times in the last year since Trump got inaugurated have we been given everything one could possibly ever need for a prosecution? I'm thinking all the way back to the ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard, coming out in like May of last year with a report showing that Barack Obama himself was deeply involved with the Russiagate conspiracy, and that everybody in the Russiagate conspiracy knew beyond any reasonable doubt from the very first step that all of it was fraudulent. It was all a giant cover-up to try to stop the election of Donald Trump. That was delivered in like May of last year. Total bombshell, dead to rights. They have absolutely everything. Nothing's happened to any of them. Here, once again, we have not just the unbelievable tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud committed by the Minnesota Democrats in cooperation with the Somali pirates. And then in a cover-up of that, they start a civil war in which all of the local government is in a Signal chat group instructing useful idiot citizens to go interfere with ICE, not a First Amendment protected activity, actually a action of insurrection for which there is no legal justification whatsoever. Are we going to do anything about it? Do we need to wait for the Trump administration to do anything about it? I mean, I genuinely am at the point where it's like really hard not to just call for militia activity. I mean, at a certain point, like, the Trump administration has lost its opportunity to actually do something about this. And of course, the irony is, the minute right-wingers showed up in Minneapolis, you absolutely know there would be no hesitation, there'd be no injunctions from judges, there would be no waffling, there'd be no angry letters. The Trump administration, the entire federal government, would deploy, and they would remorselessly execute anybody in the right wing involved. Does anybody doubt me? Anybody think that if a militia of good old boys showed up to protect ICE in Minneapolis, is there any doubt that the National Guard would be deployed that minute and everybody who they'd ever talk to would find themselves being questioned by the FBI? So at what point do we recognize that waiting for Trump is a trap? That the longer this goes on, the weaker our position is. How long? Because we got more about all of this, including, you know, the actual indictment when it came to the church raid last week with Don Lemon and his battalion of freaks going in and storming into a church. It was so much worse than we even knew. And it just puts the whole thing in a whole new perspective, where it was bad enough from what we saw in the video and what they admitted to doing, planning it, talking about how the whole purpose was to create trauma in children. It was, again, so much worse than we even knew, but the authorities knew it. And yet, I think 3 people total have been arrested and all 3 are out already. And likely not going to face, you know, the federal charges that they deserve. And the federal judge, of course, didn't allow Don Lemon to be tried for it. But we'll get into what that looked like too. Because we really are at that point. I mean, when they're raiding churches and they broke somebody's arm, they were actually kidnapping the children that were there in Sunday school. They were keeping the parents away from the children. And of course, all of that was an attempt to inspire some sort of pushback or attack, knowing that the local authorities in Minneapolis, I mean, think about this. You've got parents in church. These random activists come storming in, causing all these problems in a city, by the way, where multiple children were murdered in church last year by leftist transgender activists. And then the parents are like, what the hell is going on? Start going to try to get their kids out of Sunday school. And the people are blocking the hallway to the kids in Sunday school. Like, when you are keeping parents from their children, frankly, it's a miracle that it didn't become more violent, but they know that they can antagonize anybody they want. And if somebody were to say, you know, let me get my kid and punch somebody in the face, that person would absolutely be arrested by the exact same attorneys general or whoever who refused to arrest Don Lemon. And they'd probably send him to jail for 5 years for like felony assault. So again, my question is, how long are we going to continue to beg the system to do something it is so clearly not inclined to do?
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at TimFullerShow.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed, 2 I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.